Appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Brother.
All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Judges, chapter number 2. Judges, chapter number 2, while you're turning. I like to have got saved a while ago, but I guess I'll have to preach as a lost man tonight. I appreciate the privilege to be here at Fellowship. I appreciate your pastor. Love him in the Lord. I had the privilege to sit under his preaching for several, 4 or 5 years back down in South Carolina. And God moved us out and let me pastor. And then he come up here. And Brandon and Jennifer moved up here. And now we have a chance to come to church here. And I appreciate that so much. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And he is so good. And I appreciate that tonight. I want to read you something. How many of you ever go on Facebook? I come across this a couple of days ago. Of course, you know everything on Facebook's true. I mean, you do know that. You know I'm just kidding too, right? I seen this a few days ago, and I meant to write it down. I did not do it. But today I turned my phone on and just happened to go over there again, and it was on there again. And it really describes where we are today in Christianity. And some of you may have seen this, but I'll try to read it to you. It says, we are at a point in Christianity where people don't care if you can back it up with the Bible. Their feelings, their desires, and their emotions override what the Scriptures say. They don't follow Christ because they're following self. And I thought that was pretty good. Selfishness is killing us today. And one more knock against Facebook and I'll move on. Whoever titled these where you get your phone, what are they called? Selfies. It's all about me. And it's not about nobody else. One of the reasons why our churches are struggling today is because we're selfish. Brother David Thompson mentioned in Sunday school this past Sunday about how we're not vocal enough. We're sitting back. We're not fighting the good fight of faith. We are allowing people to take our freedoms away from us. And we're not interested in trying to stand up for what's the truth today. And that's not my message, but I did want to bring that out. I will preach along those lines, but I want you to look in Judges chapter number 2. For the sake of time, I want to read verse number 6 down through verse number 15. And do pray for me. Lord, help me tonight. I will not be long. I'll be as brief as the Lord will let me. And while you're praying, pray for my son. He's preaching for me tonight at our church. So pray for Andy. God touch and help him. Give him what our church needs back down in South Carolina. Judges chapter 2. Look at verse number 6. When Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them. Now notice this. which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sowed them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. I'll stop reading there. I want you to look at verse number 12. The first part of verse number 12 says, "And they, being Israel, forsook the Lord God of their fathers." And I just want to give you just a few things tonight, with the Lord being my helper, on why Israel forsook the Lord. We see a lot of that happening today. If you know anything about Israel, God had given them the promised land. All they had to do was take it. It was theirs. All they had to do was take it. The book of Judges gives us pictures of Israel. It talks about their suffering, their invasions, their slavery, their poverty, the civil war that broke out. But as we read in this verse of Scripture, the Bible says that in verse number 10, that another generation arose which knew not the Lord. I was reading a book this afternoon. I was reading some of Pastor Brandon's commentaries. And I was reading it for future references. But I want to give you these three. There's three words that describe the nation of Israel in the book of Judges. And you may want to write these down. First of all, there's the word apathy. Now, we know what the word apathy means. It's just an absence of feelings or emotions, and I want you to remember that. Then there's the word apostasy. The word apostasy means there's the absence of a commitment or an absence of obedience. And then there is the word anarchy, which is the absence of government. When you look at those three words, that really describes the nation of Israel, but it really describes what we see today in Christianity. And so I want to look at it in that light with the Lord being my helper tonight. Take your Bible just for a moment and turn over to Judges chapter number 17. Judges chapter number 17. I want to show you three verses of Scripture, then we'll come back to chapter number 2, and I want to quickly give you the message. And again, these verses that I want to read right now faithfully describe what we see today. Now, I don't know how it is up in Virginia. I don't know many churches in Virginia. This one and maybe one more. I did come up to church over in Manassas for several years and preached up there 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years in a row. I don't know a lot about the churches up here, but I'm sure they're probably the same way that they are down in South Carolina, where we have people that's really just going through the emotions. Do you know that you can forsake the Lord and still sit on a pew or a chair? And I want you to keep that in mind. Look in Judges 17. Here's where we are. Look at verse number 6. "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Look in chapter 18, verse number 1. "In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in." I'll not read no more of that. Look in chapter 19, verse number 1. "And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel." One more, look in chapter number 21. Chapter 21, verse number 25, to me is the key verse, or verses, one of the key verses in the book of Judges. Judges 21, verse number 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's where we are today. It seems as though instead of us listening to the Word of God when the man of God preaches, we are not really listening. And even if we listen, we do not put into practice. I try to encourage the folk that God's given me to pastor, not only be a hearer of the Word, but be a doer of the Word. You can have the best preacher in the world, and you probably do. A little slow. Yeah, I know. I remember that. Yeah, but anyway. You can hear the Word of God. But if we're not going to do what the Bible says, what good is it? I mean, now, don't dry up on me. It gets better as we get along. But we see that happening today, and it concerns me. And then when you add COVID on top of what we've already seen, it makes it that much worse. The thing back in March that really spoke to my heart and it really burdened my heart was that the devil was going to use this to attack the church and get people even out of church. And we see that happening today. And that is the excuse that a lot of people are using just to not come to church. Well, preacher, you know how it is. Well, I know what the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25. The pastor touched on it Sunday night. And we're not to forsake the house of God. I realize you got to be cautious. I understand that. But I am not going to let the devil use something like that to get me out of church.
Amen.
When we are to be in church.
Amen.
Hebrews 10:25 is still in the Bible even today. I looked it up this morning and it's still in the Bible today, and I know that don't go over good, but let me give you the message so I might can smooth some things over. What was it that caused Israel to forsake the Lord? Well, I think as you see these verses of Scripture, I believe you will see what I'm talking about. The first thing that I see, why Israel forsook the Lord? Well, look in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died." Here's the first reason that Israel forsook the Lord was because they had no leader. Joshua was their leader. Joshua was the man that God raised up to be the leader. But he gets old and he passes off the scene. And he even tells us that they served the Lord a little while after Joshua died while the elders were up there. But when they passed away, the Bible says that they began to do evil. Now, let's bring it to where we live today. Who's the leader of your life? I'm going to tell you why there are people that are forsaking the Lord today is because the Lord is not ruling in their lives. Now, listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, Jesus ought to be number one. Amen? That goes without saying. Now listen, I remember before I got saved, the devil was my ruler. I did everything he wanted me to do. I lived the way I did because he was the ruler of my life. He controlled me. And that's why I've done a lot of the stupid things that I've done. And I'm ashamed of my past, but I'm glad that it's that. It's my past. But when I got saved by the grace of God, it didn't take too much long after that I got in altar. I surrendered my life to the Lord. Now, I told the Lord, and you know, I got in altar. I said, "Lord, I've given you my heart. You're my Savior, but I want you to be Lord. I want to allow you to be the Lord of my life." And in an altar, I surrendered my life to what to do whatever it is that the Lord wanted me to do. Be honest with you, I thought I'd end up on the mission field. I was indoctrinated in the church that I got saved in that probably missions was the number one priority of the church other than getting people saved, but getting missionaries out. There's missionaries that are scattered all over the world tonight that come out of that church. And I'll be honest with you, I thought I'd end up on the mission field. But I prayed, I sought the face of God, and the Lord said to us, he said, "Listen, I want you to preach the gospel." And I thought, well, that's just the first step. Maybe the Lord will lead it otherwise, but that was not God's will. But what I want to get across to us tonight is this, that who is the number one person in your life? It needs to be the Lord. I thought about the man, Pete, that just got saved. just recently, and this goes for every one of us. I believe what is happening, and the preacher mentioned it a while ago, we're concerned about getting people saved, and we are to be, but it seems like when they get saved, we sort of forget about them, and he used that illustration to perfection. We get them saved by the grace of God, and then we forget about them. The church that I was pastoring before, the one I'm pastoring now, the Lord began to save some people, and of course, there was quite a few got saved. There was two brothers come visited our church. Larry and David Cushman, and they had been in every kind of church you could think about. And they came and sat on the back row. They were invited by another man in our church. To make a long story short, both of them got saved by the grace of God. And it was just not them, and some of the families began to bring other people. And it seemed like we had, I don't know, maybe about 18 or 20 that got saved over a period of just a few short months. And I began to pray about that, and Lord allowed us to come across some material for new converts. And so we started a new convert class, and we began to watch those people that got saved by the grace of God. They began to grow. They began to mature. They began to testify. Some of them got real spiritual and shouted a little bit in church. They'd raise a hand. They'd say amen. And that was a blessing. But I think today, it's like we forget about people when they get saved. But they need to have a leader. They need to have a ruler of our lives. And again, before I move on, who is in charge of your life? It needs to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that Israel forsook the Lord was because when Joshua died, they had no leader. And even the Bible says that when he died, the elders died, they begin to do evil. And if you study the book of Judges, at least about seven times, this happened. It was like it went through a routine. They'd get saved. They would serve the Lord. And then they would backslide. The Lord would punish them, convict them. They'd get right, start praising God, live for the Lord a while. Then they'd go back into evil at least six or seven times. You see the repetitiveness of that. But listen, they did not, they forsook the Lord because they had no leader. Then look at verse number 11. Not only did they forsake the Lord because they had no leader, but verse number 11 says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord because they had no leader, but then they forsook the Lord because they had no love. Notice that word in verse number 11, they did evil. Can I just say this? I believe everybody here tonight loves the Lord. At least I hope you do. But let me say something. You know that our love for the Lord fluctuates. Everybody here tonight goes through those times when there are times that we love the Lord and we are grateful, we are thankful, and we praise God, but there are times when our love for Him, it sort of wanes a little bit. Now, I wrote this down. Sometimes our love can get cold. And if you're here tonight, and if there has been a time in your past where you loved the Lord more then than you do now, you need to get in the altar and make things right with God. Amen. That's right. You need to get in the altar and say, God, I'm sorry. Because our love can get cold. Sometimes our love for Him can get old. Said, not me, preacher. I always love the Lord. Yeah, you got a problem with lying too. And I'm not trying to be mean or hateful, but none of us here tonight always love the Lord as much as we ought to. If we'd be honest, we'd have to say, preacher, you're right. Sometimes our love gets cold, it gets old. Sometimes it gets mold. You ever gone to the bread box and get you out a loaf of bread, gonna fix you a sandwich, and you look down there and there's this white crusty stuff on there? You don't take a bite out of it unless you want some penicillin free. But you know what you do? You throw it away. And sometimes we may well admit it. Our love gets cold, it gets old, it gets mold. But really, our love ought to be bold. Lost people ought to know that there's something different in our lives. We ought to exemplify the love for the Lord. I'm glad for this fact that His love for me, Brother David, and if there's any more Davids here tonight, our love for Him fluctuates, but His love for us never changes. there's nothing that I can do, praise God, to make the Lord love me any more than he does right now. There's nothing that I can do that will make him love me any less. I can do wrong, and I promise you, he has done, he will do in the future, and he'll do it right now. If I get slack, the Lord will get a hold of me somehow, some way. I want to stay in love with him. And one reason that I know that I love him is this. The Bible says, if you love me, John chapter number 15, I think it is, and he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. As a matter of fact, I think there's another verse in the Bible that says this, that if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. So our love sometimes can get cold. Then look in verse number 12. Here's the third thing. I've got seven, and I'm going to get off seven of them, but I'll be quick. Verse number 12, notice this, and they forsook the Lord. There's no loyalty. Where's the loyalty at today? You know, we can be loyal to about every other thing, but when it comes to the church, it seems like sometimes we put the church second fiddle. Amen. I just believe that we are to be loyal. Let me read you some verses of Scripture. I'm not going to get you to turn there, but let me read you a few verses of Scripture. See if this makes any sense. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You need to either serve the Lord or you're not serving him. There's no other way about it. You're either serving him or you're not. Verse number 33 says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does he say? But seek ye first. The very thing that we need to grab a hold of today is God's will for our lives. I tell our folk this all the time, and I know it aggravates some of them, but I believe everybody that gets saved, I believe God's got a will for your life. God's got something he wants you to do. God's got a path that he wants you to walk down. God's got a will for your life. And what you and I need to do is after we get saved, we need to find out what it is that God wants us to do. And the reason that a lot of people are forsaking the Lord is because they've never approached the Lord and asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? They're saved. They're going to heaven, but they've never took that extra step. And that is called a discipleship, what the pastor mentioned a while ago. And there needs to be some discipleship. We need to be a disciple of the Lord. And a disciple is a learner, a follower, or an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get saved by the grace of God, and after we get saved, there needs to come a time in your life where you surrender your life to the Lord. Have you ever done that? I guarantee there's people sitting here, you've never done that. Sure, you're going to heaven. There's no doubt in your heart and your mind. You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. But there's no loyalty in your life. And it shows. It shows in our attendance. It shows in our activity. It shows in our affections. And if I can think of two or three more A's, I'd put them out there too. But those things show up in our lives. Where's the loyalty at today? You know, we can be loyal to some a ball team, and I don't want to get mean tonight. We can be loyal to a ball team, but we can't be loyal to the house of God. Well, let me put it this way. We can be loyal to, and I know where I'm at, we can be loyal to some hunting club. I know they're deer hunters up here. Preacher, you sure are mean. I'm not mean. You ask my wife, I'm not mean. Preacher said he wasn't, what was that word you used? Sunday night? Yeah, he's not a bully, and I'm not a bully. But I'm a Bible believer. I believe the Bible. It's amazing that somebody done turned me off. We can be loyal to those things, but what about the church? I'm going to tell you why we ought to be loyal to the church is because Jesus loved the church so much that he died for it. And if the church is that important to the Lord that caused him to die for it, then why can't you and I live for it? Can I tell you something? You're never going to be happy. The song, I don't know if it's in this songbook or not, but our songbooks down home, we had them red-back Church of God songbooks, that church hymnal. And that don't bother me a bit that it's Church of God. Don't bother me one bit. There's some good songs in there. There's a song, and I'm sure it's probably in this one too. Trust and obey. Now listen, trust and obey. I'm not going to sing it to you. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You want to know why we got people that sit in our pews that never smile? They may have trusted, but they've never got that obedience down. They're saved, they're going to heaven, but they've never got to that point where they are obedient unto the Lord. And that's why Israel forsook the Lord, because they had no loyalty. There needs to be some loyalty in our lives today. Then look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. And they forsook the Lord their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods. Notice that's with a little g. Of the gods of the people that were around about them. You know that? Instead of us being an influence, I made this statement the other day. Are we an influence? Are we being influenced? Are you being an influence on anybody? Especially those that work a public job. You work a public job. You got people you work with, you rub shoulders with. You that go to school, you rub shoulders with them people all day long, it seems like. What kind of influence are you and I on them? Are we an influence on them, or are we allowing them to influence us?
Amen.
That's good preaching. What kind of influence are we? Let me finish this up. Notice this. That were round about them, notice this, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. The fourth reason why they forsook the Lord was they had no liveliness. Notice that word, they bowed themselves. Whatever happened to coming to the house of God and rejoicing in the house of God? Preacher mentioned this. I hate to keep referring to what he preached either Sunday morning, Sunday night, but it just resonates in my mind, and the Lord keeps bringing it back. Instead of us lifting hands and praising God, you know what we're doing today? We've got it reversed. There was a time when the preacher preached, and when he was preaching the Bible, the people in the congregation would say, amen, hallelujah, preach it, preacher. Glory to God. But now what they do? He'd say something right and everybody just claps. And then they get up and sing them bongo billy music songs they got out today, and they just hoot and holler and carry on like a Comanche Indian. We got it in reverse. I'm not for one to applause. I know the Bible says clap your hands. I understand that. It's probably got its places. But I still believe we're going to be biblical when the preacher preaches something, and if it agrees with you, whether you are a man or woman, you ought to say amen.
Amen.
Now, that's good right there. Why can't we do that all the time? Let me read you something here. And you know this verse of Scripture. Psalms chapter number 100. I like to use this verse of Scripture from time to time. Psalms chapter number 100 and verse number 4. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You know what that means? Look at that first part. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That means when you come down Gate Road, and as soon as you pull onto the church property, you ought to have a thankful heart that you were able to be in the house of God.
Amen.
That I believe that. Listen, I believe that. If I'm wrong, I'll apologize to you when we get to heaven. But I believe that's what he's talking about. When you've got the blessed privilege, you could be in some nursing home tonight. You could be down at the mortuary tonight. You could be at home sick sometime tonight. But yet God has afforded you the blessed privilege and the glorious opportunity to be in the house of God. I know of nowhere else that I would rather be right now, except in my own church, than in the house of God. Nowhere else I'd rather to go. My wife and I were talking about this. I think we said something about it today. We don't go to a lot of places. I work a public job. I go to work every day. I come home, and I'm in the house. We don't go a lot of places. Go to grocery store because got to eat. But I go to church. I'm like you. When all this stuff started, I think we missed one Sunday. And then we started having, they were calling them porch services. I'd rather call them parking lot services. We set up a PA system on the front porch, and I preached just like I was inside the church. As a highwayman went down the road, and he got in front of the church, and he stopped and rolled down his window, sat there 2 or 3 minutes, and he pulled off and turned his blue light on. I guess he was saying amen. I don't know. We done that for several weeks, not too many weeks. And we got a small church, so we were able to spread out a little bit. And I'm thankful that we only had one person since March to get COVID. I thank God for that, and we've been able to come back. I don't want to take that for granted. Now think of it this way. Listen to me. I told our church, you better get all the church you can right now. You better get in here, and you ought to be here every time these doors are open. Amen. Now listen to me. There might come a time when they will shut the churches down. Now I know we don't believe that could happen, but I know how them people are. I know what their agenda is. Their agenda is that they want to shut this place down. And I know some of you are going to be standing out there with your guns, which you ought to. You let them come in my church. One man said this. He said, I'll shoot them with a buckshot and tell God they died from chicken pox. I thought that was funny too, brother. Laying all this aside, do you know what they're trying to do? I never thought that I would see some of the stuff happening today that is happening today in the United States of America. But you listen to me. Their agenda is to shut places like this down. They want to shut the Word of God down because I know Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's always going to be a church. Amen. Listen, there's always going to be somewhere where the man of God is going to preach the church. Now, we may have to go underground. We support a missionary, Brother Robbie Mullinax, who goes into China and they have to worship underground. That could happen to America. And I know some of you sitting there right now, oh, that'll never happen. Are you seeing things happen that we never thought would happen? Listen, it would be no stretch of imagination to see them take another step or two and shut churches down. And it's possible. But let me get back to what I said, no liveliness. I talked about, he says, enter to his gates, but then into his courts. Where's the courts? That's when you come into the church house. We are to come to the house of God with a thankful heart that we were able to come to the house of God and be in the house of God tonight. I've been waiting all day to get to church. Not because I was praying. I'm scared to death. I always feel that way. Every time I preach, you think I'd be over it by now, but I do get a little frightened. Then I remember what they told Jeremiah. The Lord told Jeremiah, said, don't be afraid of their faces. I'm sure the preachers got them. I'm sure these other preachers have got them looks where you're preaching and you got people set back there and they give you them funny looks. You never had it happen up here. You got the good people. But they down in South Carolina, some of them came. We used to have a man sit in my church. I knowed when I was getting close to his tater row, he'd sit in that pew and he'd do this. I called him on it 2 or 3 times. I said, step back there and fold your arms. You know what you're doing? You're just going to make me preach harder and longer. I know what, boy, I couldn't handle use my pastor, I know. That's why I'm in South Carolina and you're up here in Virginia. He didn't like it. Around the preaching word of God, either one of two things happen. You either get saved or you'll get out for Bible preaching. You can't hang around it too long. So there's no liveliness. Look at verse number 14. Let me hurry. Judges chapter 2. Look at verse number 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them and sold them into the hands of the enemies round about so that they could no longer stand. They had no life. Their lives were gone. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says that they could no longer stand. Then look at verse number 15. I'm through. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. And the Lord had said, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. They had no liberty. No liberty. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'm glad we don't have to be in bondage any longer. I'm glad that I'm not in bondage to the old lifestyle that I was in. I'm glad that when the Lord saved me, I'm glad that He put me in a church where I was instructed from the Word of God. I got rooted and grounded in the Bible. I was taught the Bible. You talk about discipleship. I was discipled in the Word of God. The man of God faithfully stood every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night and faithfully preached the Word of God. I didn't always agree with him. Sometimes he'd open up the Word of God and preach the Word of God and it would strike me right in the heart. But I always found out that the Word of God's right and I was wrong. So I say, Lord, I'm at fault. Please forgive me and help me. They had no liberty. They were in bondage. If you'll notice, every time that they went out, the Bible says that they went out from the Lord because they were in bondage. Now, here's my question tonight. Have you forsaken the Lord? Are you as close to the Lord tonight as you ever have been before in your Christian life? You could be here tonight and you've already forsaken the Lord. You're here, but you're not here. You're here in body, but you're not here in spirit. You could be here tonight that you're on the verge. Maybe you are allowing the devil to climb up on your shoulder and whisper things in your ears and trying to get you out of the house of God. You see, the devil knows he can't get your soul. So what he wants to get is your joy and your happiness and your peace and your excitement. The devil would love nothing more than to rob you of the joy that the Lord's put in your life. Now listen to me. The devil can't get your joy, but he can get your happiness. Because happiness depends upon our happenings. And joy depends upon Jesus. Have you forsook the Lord? Have you folded your Bible? Getting ready to walk away? Never to come back again? Is the devil tempting you to slack up, to ease up, to let go of some things? If you're here tonight and you need some help, then I urge you to get in these altars and cry out unto God and ask God to help you. Church, listen, do not forsake the Lord. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? If you need to come and pray, as the sister comes to the piano, if you need some help tonight while these are coming, would you please do whatever it is the Lord has bid upon your heart to do? As she begins to play, would you come and let the Lord help you tonight? Father,